Okay, thank you very much, Anita. Let me begin by thanking the organizers for inviting me to participate and contribute to this important event. I've been asked to speak on productive capacities and how it contributes to poverty reduction in Africa. And there are 4 points that I would like to make in this presentation. My first point is that the COVID-19 pandemic has drastically changed the global environment in which member states have to implement development policies. As you know, the crisis has affected both developed and developing countries. And one thing that is clear at the moment, based on the research that has been carried out so far, is that even though the virus does not discriminate in terms of infections, it does discriminate in terms of socioeconomic impact. In fact, if you look at some of the studies that have been carried out, they do indicate that countries in Africa and also the LDCs will bear a disproportionately large part of the burden of this pandemic. In fact, in the case of Africa, as you all know, Africa accounts for about 14% of global population, but it's expected to account for about 50% of the increase in global poverty arising from the pandemic. So clearly, this virus, it does discriminate in terms of socioeconomic impact. The second point I would like to make is that poverty eradication is key to fostering inclusive development. But as we think about poverty eradication as an instrument for fostering inclusive development, we must recognize that it's not simply an economic matter. It's also a human rights issue. And I think this interlinkage, this connection, has to be taken into account when we design policies to respond not just to the crisis, but also to build a solid foundation for sustained and inclusive economic development in Africa. As you all know, social deprivation, lack of access to basic services and opportunities, they all limit the ability of disadvantaged groups to effectively contribute to development, to the development process. So it's in this context that I'm trying to argue that development policies have to address not just the economic, but also the social and political factors that expose these disadvantaged groups to a life of poverty. It's really important that we adopt this multidimensional approach to poverty reduction if we are to make progress in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals by the target date of 2030. And this brings me to my third point, which is that developing productive capacities and transforming the production and export structures of economies in Africa, that is key to eradication of poverty in Africa. And now, the natural question is, how do you develop productive capacities? At UNCTAD, we focus on three factors. One is the need to boost capital accumulation. Investment is key, you know, in terms of the production process. The second point that we, or factor that we emphasize, is the need for structural change. In particular, we try to encourage countries to diversify not just the production, but also their export structures. Because you need to produce goods with very high income elasticities of demand and where the opportunities for export market expansion are very high in order to induce a sustained economic growth, which is needed to build productive capacities, create employment, and contribute positively to poverty reduction. Obviously, the state has a key role to play in developing productive capacities, and it does this through industrial policy by designing policies in such a way that it encourages firms to invest in sectors where there is high productivity, things like manufacturing, some parts of agriculture, and also some parts of modern services. So the state has a key role to play in the process. It's not just a private sector issue. The state has an important role to play. Now, the fourth message that I want to put across here is that as we think about developing productive capacities, we must recognize that there are two aspects to it. You can build new capacities, but you also have to make better use of existing capacities you have. What we find in Africa and the LDCs, the least developed countries, is that they tend to focus so much attention on building new production capacities, but they don't pay enough attention to making better use of existing capacities. But there's no point in developing new capacities when you can't even make better use of the existing capacities you have, because that's a waste of resources. If you look at countries such as, for example, Djibouti, Eswatini, Mauritania, the capacity utilization rate in most of their industries is less than 60%. So there's a lot of idle capacity that needs to be used. And the point I'm making here is that it's not just a question of focusing on creating new capacities. You have to make better use of the existing capacities you have so that firms can employ more labor and pay decent wages, and by so doing, make a positive contribution to poverty reduction in developing countries. Now, so what is UNCTAD doing to assist countries in building productive capacities? There are two things we're doing. One is we've just completed a report, a very elaborate report, on how you can adopt a holistic approach to building productive capacities. And that report is already online on the UNCTAD website. The second thing that we're doing is that we're developing what is known as the Productive Capacity Index. This is an index that is aimed at sort of enabling countries to monitor and benchmark the development of productive capacities in their economies. Because if you want to have very good policies for building productive capacities, it has to be evidence-based. And that means that you have to have some mechanism to determine the state of productive capacity development in your economies. Up to this point, most economies don't have that, especially in developing countries. And so what we're trying to do here is to develop this index that we'll make available to member states so that it will help them in terms of monitoring the development of productive capacities as a guide to policy formulation. Now, the preliminary findings of this research has already been presented at workshops in Botswana, Namibia, and Rwanda, and they were very well received. And we're hoping that we can finalize it and get it published and made available to all member states by the end of the year. So let me conclude by saying that ending extreme poverty is possible, but it requires concerted efforts to create decent jobs through developing productive capacities. It also requires addressing social, cultural, and political factors that prevent disadvantaged groups from effectively participating in the development process. I'm going to stop here, and I thank you for listening.